Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee karup, guten tag, ciao, wee va cat bang, half a day, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan, from the left coast. Oh, did I say left coast? People will accuse me of being Russian. Ah! From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison killitary industrial core poor nation in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster bankrupt corruptocracy mocracy criminocracy unchallenged by meteocracy. Foodborne in the NSA, NRA, USA, home of Uncle Sam Manila, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and the Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Well, what can I say? Strange times, huh? What can I say? But neither climate change nor, chemtrails, nor this presidential tragicomedy, nor getting rear-ended at a high speed will prevent me from taking the time to just beg everyone everywhere, just to beg everyone in sight, please go vegan, and beg those who are out of sight. Also, it's groovy to go vegan. Here we are broadcasting live Monday, October 31st, 2016. It is Halloween. The sun will be going down soon here, and pretty soon celebrants of this, what is it? It's a candy welfare holiday. Pretty soon there'll be they'll be knocking at the door, huh? So I have the window open, so I'm ready to yell, get your own damn candy, huh? You sweet tooth socialists. What do you think, looking for a handout like that? Yeah, so I'll warn you, you are likely to hear dogs barking during today's program as they are frightened by the people at the door. When they arrive, when they show up over here, and they will, the candy socialists, and the dogs will be frightened when they arrive at the door, and it's really not their costumes that are frightening. No, they don't scare us just one day out of the year. By the way, I am wearing a very scary costume tonight for Halloween. I am dressed as Robbie Mook. Mook! I want to suck your vote. I need all the votes in Transylvania. That's near Russia, isn't it? Where was I? Oh, okay, what was I saying? I get possessed at Halloween every year. I get possessed by this, go vegan or die that possesses me. Anyway, so what was I saying? So the neighbors don't scare us. They don't scare us just one day out of the year, actually. Really, it's a 24/7, 365 thing. I mean, look around you. Look, everyone is a walking cemetery. Don't they scare you too? Their stomachs are graveyards. They bury the dead in their stomachs. They bury the murder victims in bizarre rituals of animal sacrifice. Look, they're all around you. Aren't you scared? Walking graveyards. Come on, don't they scare you a little bit? All of them. Happy Halloween, walking graveyards. As you go out into the night. Now, who's knocking at your door? Is it someone who dines on flesh and blood? Body parts? Washed down? Washed down by... In a trans-species bovine cocktail of blood, pus, tuberculosis, leukemia, and urine that you call milk? Yeah, it does a body good, all right. No, it does a body in. Yeah, dairy is scary. Don't the words cancer, heart disease, diabetes, and stroke scare you? And go vegan or die is the Halloween message. And isn't it scary? Aren't the body parts themselves scary? The body parts for Halloween. Walking graveyards out in the night, knocking on the doors, looking for sweets to take the taste of cadaver out of your mouth, huh? Well, beware, even those sweets that your neighbor drops into your body bag could be a trick. Animals' bodies and secretions could be hiding in them, too. Yeah, that's true. What might be in that candy that you're collecting tonight? Refined cane sugar? Refined white sugar? Filtered through cow bones? Sugar? Skeleton? Bones? Dairy is scary, right? Gelatin can be in candy also. And what is gelatin? Is what, from hooves and... bones, tendons, eating bones, eating skeletons. Pretty amazing. As I said, dairy is scary, with pus and blood, tuberculosis and leukemia. Also in candy, you might find carmine, which could be a glaze or coloring. That comes from beetles. So, you're having beetle juice, huh? So, you know, there are candies that are vegan, so if you get home and you want to eat the candy that isn't so scary, I'll have you know that vegan candies include Jolly Ranchers and Twizzlers, Airheads, Surf Sweets Candy, Hubba Bubba Bubblegum, Sour Patch Kids, gummies from Squish Candies, J.J. Sweets Cocomels, Swedish Fish. You never thought you'd hear me recommend... Well, I'm not really recommending any of these, and actually, altogether, this sounds like a pretty horrible vegan diet. I don't recommend that this be your vegan diet. I'm just saying, you know, if it shows up in the bag, it's vegan, you don't have to worry. J.J. Sweets Cocomels, Swedish Fish... The only fish, apparently, I seem to be recommending. Sweet tarts. I don't know if I've eaten sweet tarts in my life. I really have stayed away from candy for so many years that I don't even know most of these. Sweet and Sarah marshmallow confections are vegan. Jujubes and juji fruits. I used to have them in the movies when I was a little kid. They were vegan. They are vegan. Crybaby candy and lemon heads and Mary Jane candy. Okay, so those are candies that are vegan. Okay, I think I'll stop this music. I'm scaring myself here. What do I do? Let me see. I'll hit the pause button and hope that that works. Hope that doesn't turn off the whole system here. Did I check to see what time it is? Did we start on time today? I'm just checking to see... I didn't mean to do that. I didn't mean to clear all the screens on I was actually going to use some of these screens here to... Okay, anyway. I'm just checking to see... Here we are. We're 24 hours late, and see, it's 5:34. Not too bad. Not too bad for hippie daylight time. Starting 24 hours late, and I guess Ben lost his keys, so 24 hours and a few minutes late. And Ben found his keys, so we're actually on, which is great. So, also vegan. Oh, and Professor Gary Francione will not be joining us tonight. Oh, I hear the clicking of the radios going off right now. I think we may have Cindy Sheehan's archive up from last week, if not any moment now, with interesting perspectives on life in general from Cindy. And, Cracker Jack is also vegan. Cracker Jack is vegan, so whenever I see Cracker Jack, the original caramel-coated popcorn and peanuts, of course I immediately start thinking of take me out to the ball game, right? Take me out to the ball game. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if we never get back. And so I think should I pay attention? I don't know. There's a World Series going on. Can anybody pay attention with the soap opera, real life drama that we have in our presidential election? Is anybody paying attention to that there is actually a World Series going on? Because I know I'm not. I'm not even paying attention to vegan issues. So what am I doing? I need to tell people, please, go vegan. You know what I find interesting also sometimes is that people think that the politicians who recognize climate change have any solution. You know what I mean? It's like, talk about some of these politicians and they go, well, he doesn't even recognize that there is climate change, and then the ones who recognize that there is climate change are out there fracking, or they want carbon taxes, they want Wall Street schemes, hedge fund like things to solve problems, when we know we solve all the problems by going vegan. No matter who was elected president, we all still have to be involved in the vegan cause, which is the only way of addressing climate change. It's Halloween. Our annual Halloween theme is Go Vegan or Die. It's amazing how we are surrounded by, it's like Halloween. It's like body parts everywhere. Even on the toppings of your pizza, body parts everywhere. Isn't it terrible? Don't want to go to war. Don't want to go to war. So who's in the World Series? We have the Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs for the first time in forever, right? And the Chicago Cubs. By the way, the Chicago Tribune has asked Hillary Clinton to step aside. That's the liberal newspaper there. I can't help but remember that Tribune Broadcasting hired me. I was an employee for a short time in that corporate world. I went to New York City to be the program director of, well, it was called WPIX at the time, which was very meaningful to me because the Yankees used to be on WPIX TV. And there I was going to be the program director of WPIX-FM, which I changed around to CD101. But that lasted a very short time there. The memories with Tribune Broadcasting. Tribune's located in Chicago. And the Chicago Cubs in the World Series playing against the Cleveland Indians. Huh? Okay, so I guess teams are still allowed to have offensive names, huh? I wonder, if the people in India are upset with the name of the Cleveland baseball team, considering that the baseball is cowhide and the gloves are cowhide, and the shoes are cowhide. And my main wish, one of these days, I want to play a softball game where, and there are non-leather gloves, there are non-leather balls. I'm in the Bay Area. I want to play softball. Like a completely vegan softball game with all 18 non-leather gloves, this has been a wish of mine for forever. Just haven't played softball in forever since being on the Z92 All-Stars in Omaha. So offensive team names. Is it right that Cleveland should have team called the Indians? When I was the program director of Jazzy 100 in Washington, D.C., of course, there we have the Washington Redskins, and I, as program director and dictator, did not allow the staff to call the team the Washington Redskins. We called them the Washington NFL football team. So, anyway, go vegan or die. Whether it's on the scale related to heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, or go vegan and die related to climate change, which, people are recognizing as a real threat to our existence. And we have the answer right here, this little old vegan radio show, the only place that bothers to look at the information. Ask any politician you happen to see. Not what's the best tuna, because there really is no. I mean, the best tuna would be the tuna allowed to just live freely in the oceans, the number one cause of climate change is animal agriculture. If the number one cause of climate change is animal agriculture, would it make sense that the number one solution, actually, the only solution to climate change, would be going vegan? See, it's animal agriculture, the number one cause. So if we eliminate animal agriculture to the best of our ability, we all go vegan, we save the world. And I guess that's why we do this show, whether we have a car accident or climate change or chemtrails or whatever, because where are you going to hear this? I mean, even in debates, politicians, my opponent doesn't even recognize climate change. I do. I want carbon taxes and more fracking. So anyway, here we are, the solution to climate change. And what did I want to look at here? So therefore, it's, it's meat, dairy, fish, and egg consumption, climate change. That's what's causing it. Because animal agriculture, your appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs is causing climate change and responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. So there you have it. Are you going to be vegan, or are you going to be one of the scary, walking graveyards? So I see that in Live Science, and of course I blame the wrong appetite, the production and consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs now for the warm ocean blob that's triggered. This works for me. Actually, everything we talk about on this program is pretty scary, right? So from Live Science, we see that warm ocean blob triggered worst ever toxic algae blooms. So, by the way, and what's causing this worst ever toxic algae blooms, this warm ocean blob? Have you been paying attention? What's causing it is your appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Pay attention. It says here, blooms of algae along the west coast of the U.S. in 2015 were bigger and more toxic than ever before, contaminating food webs and closing fisheries from Southern California to as far north as British Columbia in Canada. Now, a new study links them to elevated ocean temperatures with algae growth spurred by a mysterious patch of warmer than average ocean that scientists first noted years earlier and had dubbed the warm blob. It's Halloween. We're talking about the warm blob, which first appeared in 2013 and has been hanging around. The Blob. It was a horror movie, wasn't it? The Blob. We used to be very scared of things when I was a little kid a long time ago. They showed some Jell-O on a floor in a movie, and it was like, the Blob! Ah! Run for your life. Actually, now that we know what Jell-O is, gelatin, animal products, it's really run for your life. Run from Jell-O. Anyway, back to this blob, the warm blob, which first appeared in 2013 and hung around into 2014. It says it has helped one species of toxic algae, Pseudonychia australis, not the real one, but the pseudo one. So it's helped that toxic algae increase in unprecedented numbers and expand further north than was previously possible, with devastating effects on a wide range of marine life. Again, this devastating effect on a wide range of marine life is caused by what? That's right, your appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, if you're paying attention. Toxic algae events, back to the live science, toxic algae events that are serious enough to merit fishery closures occur off the coasts of Washington and Oregon every 3 to 5 years, but the 2015 bloom was the largest by far, according to Ryan McCabe, the study's lead author and a researcher at the University of Washington's Joint Institute for the Study of Atmosphere and Ocean in Seattle for the study of blobs. I major in blobs. I'm a climate specialist. I'm taking a class in blobs. And he says our results show that it was connected to the unusual ocean conditions, which we're talking climate change here. Okay, so let's see, what else does it say here about this? So this pseudo australis, or P. australis, isn't that a hair tonic? No. Okay, sorry. P. australis produces a neurotoxin that's called domoic acid, which can cause seizures and gastrointestinal distress, and is sometimes lethal when shellfish and small fish like anchovies eat the algae. They can transmit the toxin to animals that feed on them, including people. So there you have it, another reason not to eat fish, not to eat someone coming out of the ocean, who also happens to have a face and feelings also. So there we have it. Everything that goes wrong in the world, we trace back to the human herbivore's appetite, wrongful appetite for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs, which has us on the verge of extinction. I might remind you again, since this is the only place, apparently, you hear this information. I know that there's some sort of big peace gathering going on in Los Angeles in November, but I don't think the vegan message will be there, and it needs to be everywhere, especially for those concerned about climate change, because we do have the only solution. And if it seems that I'm repetitive on this, well, Too bad. It's the only planet we have, and if I'm the only one saying it, I better say it more than once, but more than once this show, more than once a minute. As I said, animal agriculture is the number one cause of climate change, responsible for at least 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions. The only solution is a massive population shift. 50 to 85% of us have to move away from these so-called animal products, and we have to go vegan by 2020. Now, it's great. I mean, prevent all the pipelines you want and power plants and whatever from being built, but the unbuilt pipelines have not brought us to the tipping points where we are right now. What's brought us to the tipping point, by the way, is what? That's right, consumption of meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. The people who are at the World Series watching the Cubs playing the Cleveland team, you know, they're eating hot dogs. You know, if there's one thing we should learn is, you know, the danger of the wiener. We need to know in more ways than one the danger of the wiener. I think the Clinton campaign would agree with me. The hot dog causes cancer, by the way. So, you know, this great, the national pastime, everybody's out there. Eat the Cracker Jack. Didn't I just tell you that it's vegan? But you eat the hot dog, you know, the wiener will do you in. Hot dogs are carcinogenic. They cause cancer. The World Health Organization tells us processed meats cause cancer. Hot dogs, you know, bacon, turkey roll, you know, all of that. So come on, can we get with it for survival here? And, you know, I don't know. Anyway, where are we? We are Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. You can support this program with a tax-deductible donation, believe it or not. Well, you can believe it more if you go to goveganradio.com and you hit donate. We would greatly appreciate your support. On Facebook, we are Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. There are a couple of Bob Linden pages there, too. And on Twitter, it's at Go Vegan Radio. We will continue. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at GoVeganRadio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and a couple of extraneous Bob Linden pages there. And you know, I think since I was rear-ended, I've been resting a little bit, you know, trying to recuperate. Not spending as much time, you know, I need to focus, so much to do, you know, and haven't even been spending as much time on social media other than to post things related to this really bizarre political campaign going on right now. And as I said, I'm live on Monday evening, October 31st, it's Halloween. I haven't really paid attention to the news today. I don't know. Does the U.S. still exist? I don't even. Who knows? You know. I'll check it on YouTube after the show is done today. But I guess what we learn, you know, right now, you know, what we're learning from what's going on, basically is stay away from wiener. Stay away from wiener. So, isn't it amazing that the Russian agent Comey from the Russian Secret Service, the FBI, now has Anthony Weiner's device, Wiener's device, Anthony Wiener, who he has a pseudonym out there, Charlie. What is it, Charlie Danger, or Carlos Danger? Right, Carlos Danger, Charlie Pellegrosso, Carlos Danger, sexting to underage girls, and they find 650,000 emails. 650,000. Is that? I think isn't that every? That would be every word written since the beginning of time. Like that many emails, 650,000. That would have to be like every volume of everything in the Library of Congress. How is there room? You know, there can be no more digital space. We probably have to expand from the binary system and go, you know, we can't use zeros and ones anymore. We'll have to add a two. I mean, with this guy doing 650,000 emails, or maybe nothing was written. Maybe they were all, you know, just maybe he's bragging that, look. I am so well endowed that it takes 650,000 emails to show my whole. So anyway, stay away from Wiener. And what I mean by that, of course, would be hot dogs. It's the baseball season. Stop giving your kids cancer. Okay, it's Halloween. It's all so scary. You know what's scary? As I look at some of the news releases in the world of health, as for example, from it's on the website of Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, talking about the USDA, $20 million in cheddar cheese. That's a bailout from the USDA. This is scary. $20 million in cheddar cheese, a bailout that aggravates disease and economically disadvantaged, it says here. And said the U.S. Department of Agriculture announced in October that it would purchase $20 million worth of cheddar cheese and distribute it to food assistance programs, a decision denounced by the Physicians Committee, a group of 12,000 doctors, which recently asked the White House to block the USDA's plan to buy 11 million pounds of cheese to be fed to the lactose intolerant, of course. Isn't this scary that the government, I mean, what kind of government is this that distributes this this fat, the blood, the pus, the tuberculosis, the leukemia, to the lactose intolerant, huh? It says, let's see, the current administration, here's a quote here. The current administration has vowed to tackle childhood obesity and to fight for a healthier America, but dumping 11 million pounds of cheese on children and economically disadvantaged people will aggravate the problems they are already struggling with, said Neil Barnard, MD, author of the forthcoming The Cheese Trap. Food assistance programs need healthful foods, fruits, vegetables, beans, and whole grains. That, you know, if we had a government that cared, right? So there you have it, 11 million pounds of cheese. What else does it say here? Cheese is a leading source of saturated fat in the American diet, and I don't know what to tell you. Typical cheeses are 70% fat and are among the foods highest in cholesterol and sodium, which exacerbate obesity, heart disease, and diabetes. It says our country has a big cheese problem, that's for sure. Last year, most Americans ate more than 30 pounds of cheese, says Dr. Barnard. Now the government is foisting even more on this fatty stuff on citizens who often have the most trouble accessing healthful foods. your government at work. What can I tell you here? Let's see. I wanted to find. I think that there was, you know, a better solution for this. Of course, the, you know, and the thing is, I don't know. I always, whenever I see dairy, I see the poor animals. You know, if I'm at the market and somebody has a gallon of milk, I'm seeing the baby cow. I'm seeing the mother being raped. I'm seeing the kidnapping, the killing. You know, that's what I see when I see dairy. When we see dairy in the China study, the largest study of diet and health ever, we see dairy as the number one carcinogen to which Americans are exposed. And 30 pounds of cheese every year. Also, that same Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine told the White House that basically it should block the USDA from sending 11 million pounds of cheese to schools and food assistance programs to make people sick. It said a better use for the cheese would actually be to fill potholes in the Washington, D.C. area. And, well, this makes sense to me. When you think of the cheese protein, you know, casein, it's kind of a glue. Doesn't that glue labels to beer bottles, you know? Then, I don't know, you take it into your system. It kind of gunks up your whole system, doesn't it, here? So PCRM saying that the USDA announced back in August that it would buy up to 11 million pounds of unwanted cheese at a cost of up to $20 million. Your tax dollars at work, $20 million, buying 11 million pounds of cheese to feed to lactose intolerant. Most people are lactose intolerant, especially people of color. And why not be lactose intolerant? I mean, you're not a baby cow. You're not a baby, and you're not a baby cow. So why tolerate the food of a baby cow? The food that's supposed to make you grow really big, really fast. You know, four legs and a tail and horns. Why are you consuming that? So anyway, this is a $20 million purchase to boost sales in the dairy industry, of course. The dairy industry with a lot of clout because it has a lot of money. So there you have it. The suggestion, let's see, potholes occur when water freezes and cracks in asphalt. In April, Washington's Department of Transportation launched an aggressive pothole filling program called Pothole Palooza. Everybody's in show business, right? You're filling potholes. It's Pothole Palooza. The first Pothole Palooza was held in 2009, and since then, more than 64,000 potholes have been filled, and the doctors say cheese may make a surprisingly good pothole patch, as the Federal Highway Administration notes in its best practices for pothole repair. Good binders are needed to fill the holes, and because cheese is mostly fat, it repels water, and mixed with gravel may make an excellent repair material. So there you have it. You know, we really shouldn't be producing cheese at all. And we certainly shouldn't be giving it to humans. And the best use, apparently, for the cheese that we have on hand right now would be to fill potholes. So, you will not find any cheese or animal products at the wonderful Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, 100% vegan restaurant, one of the great restaurants in the world. Check out the menu at vegetarianhouse.us. And so as we see, this is the food that's healthy. This is the food that will save our environment. When we sacrifice nothing, we sacrifice no one, and the food is so delicious. So if you're in the San Francisco Bay Area, if you're in the South Bay, if you're in the San Jose area, you're quite fortunate to have one of the great vegan restaurants in all the world. With it's organic, GMO-free, great raw selections, desserts, and vegetarian house caters. And so if you have an event coming up, a social event, you're getting married, a business event, you want people to be happy, just check out Vegetarian House. The catering business is booming for Vegetarian House. I was there a few weeks ago. Every seat was filled, as we find with so many vegan restaurants around the world now. We are happening, and I don't see any reason. Why are you waiting? Would you like to address climate change, please? We like to blame others or blame pipelines, but here's something we could do today. You know, and it's the thing we have to do, because if you're expecting results to come from some Paris Climate Accord, which, by the way, nothing is mandatory about that. That's all voluntary. Nothing will come of it, okay? And if you're thinking that the solution to climate change is an alternative energy infrastructure, well, again, that will take at least 20 years and $35 trillion. Try getting that money from a President Trump or a President Clinton, who will be allocating all that money for fracking. Everything's all fracked up at this point. The only way we can save the world is to go vegan. Who would have thought this little... What was this? We started this 16 years ago. Some people thought this little food show, the guy's going to come on and tell us how to make a salad. And who would have thunk that this is the way to save the world? This is it. I don't think you're going to be getting it from the biased media, you know, the Clinton News Network, the ABC, NBC, CBS, PBS censorship channel. You're not going to hear this from progressive media, whatever that means these days, too. So the show must go on. Yeah, I thought 16 years ago this would last a couple of weeks, and I'd go on with my life and, you know, go back to playing music on the internet or radio or something and make a nice living. Here we are 16 years later, and we have to save the world. We have to go vegan. Your companion animals can go vegan, too, dogs and cats. Thanks to Evolution Pet Food, Evolution Dog and Cat Food. Daisy loves it. Daisy loves Evolution. And so check it out. You can go to petfoodshop.com, petfoodshop.com to order Evolution and have the other family members going vegan too. So check it out. So it's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com. We will continue. And again, I invite you to support this program and our efforts, our educational efforts, our efforts to organize events. Support us with a tax-deductible donation at goveganradio.com. Continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden at goveganradio.com, on Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, Facebook Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, and the two Bob Linden pages, so that I do everything in, is it triplicate, quadruplicate, quintuplicate, just make sure that I'm, it's good that I stay busy and inefficient. I think that's how I stay most productive, by doing things that way. There is one and only one vegan eco-resort in the United States. It happens to be on the Mendocino coast in Northern California. That is the Stanford Inn. You can go to stanfordinn.com, check out the website, check out the rooms, the beautiful location. You can just have a great time there. Companion animals, welcome. You can go canoeing, biking. There's the Living Well program, so there's yoga, there's art, all sorts of great activities, or just unwind. And then there's also dining at the Raven's Restaurant, the renowned vegan restaurant. That is at the Stanford Inn. Look at that beautiful location, stanfordinn.com. And there's a book out by Jeff and Joan Stanford, the owners of the Stanford Inn, called Dining at the Raven's, with many recipes from that restaurant. Again, that's stanfordinn.com. And we would also like to thank Health Aid Kombucha for its support of the radio program and for putting out just such a refreshing and delicious beverage. So you have the kombucha, which is cold-pressed. It's handcrafted in small batches using only the freshest organic and raw ingredients, flavored with cold-pressed juice, fermented 100% in glass and packaged in UV-protected amber bottles. Also, I mean, there are just so many flavors. They keep churning them out. It's hard to keep up with all the flavors. There are the super teas. Health Aid has created a special union of the kombucha, the superfoods, and raw superfoods, and the kombucha. It's just amazing what's happening there. So check it out. The website is Health Aid. healthaid.com, and available in your natural foods market. Seems that I'm so consumed with the soap opera that is the political scene that I need to pay more attention to animal issues and vegan issues, which of course will happen right after the election. Once that's over, we'll want to get our mind off of who the president is, whoever he or she may be. We may want to forget about it for 4 years, so we'll get right back to the vegan thing. I'm amazed that the FBI has reopened its investigation into Hillary, mainly because I thought it only paid attention to important issues like, wasn't it the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act? We had people in the past being investigated for everything from writing animal rights slogans with chalk in the street to liberating animals. Would be considered terrorism, and people would be prosecuted. But Hillary can put the name of every CIA agent in the world on a billboard in Times Square, and no problem. Must be nice to be above the law and not have to go to court when you get a red light camera ticket, which I did have to go to court. I fought the law, and I won! but still, Just the gas that I had to pay to get to court, is more than Hillary, for giving away all state secrets. It's like amazing. Here, ISIS, here are all state secrets. Where's my $500,000 necklace from the King of Saudi Arabia? I won't get into that now. What's strange to me, looks like Direct Action Everywhere put out. I'll have to look at this. I haven't looked at it yet. Undercover video of cage-free eggs. This is like, why not wait till after the election? This is like hiding it, I think. Is this in collusion collusion with HSUS. Yeah, we have the undercover video. We'll put it out, you know, right at the height of the presidential election. And will anybody notice? I don't know. There's an article in the New York Times. I guess that's some attention, since the New York Times won't put anything about WikiLeaks. I guess it has to fill some sort of space, since it's avoiding WikiLeaks like all the other media, all the other biased establishment worthless media. So the New York Times has an article on the cage-free egg thing, and when was the last time I was in the New York Times? It's been a while. It was when John Lennon was shot. I was in the New York Times. I was quoted. I was a program director of a radio station in Omaha, Z92, which I started in 1978. I think John Lennon was shot, would have been 1980. So I organized a major major gathering in Omaha, and I was quoted as saying that people needed an outlet for their sense of loss. And then I was also in the New York Times and on the CBS Evening News for the speech that I gave regarding John Lennon at that time, and the big commemoration we had at Rosenblatt Stadium in Omaha. That's right, the same Rosenblatt Stadium that is the site of the Little League World Series. Is it the Little League World? Yeah, it is the Little League World Series. And where I used to play softball against members of the Kansas City Chiefs. I was the pitcher, slow pitch softball. I was the pitcher for the Z92 All-Stars, playing against the Kansas City Chiefs. And these guys, as much as they're great at playing football and, you know, could knock me into the stands or whatever, they couldn't hit a slow pitch, you know, just like the arc of this. I have Art Still, like, who's this big lineman, saying, give me something to hit. Don't strike me out. Don't strike me out. So have I made this about me enough by now, or can we go back to cage-free eggs? Anyway, it was in the New York Times, how cage-free hens live, an animal advocate's video. And obviously this confirms everything I have said. Let's make this about me again, okay? It became about others too much for a second there. So anyway, so here it says, after years of pressure, this is in the New York Times, after years of pressure from animal advocates, dozens of food companies have committed themselves to cage-free eggs produced by hens not living in the cramped quarters known as battery cages. Well, let's take it from the top right there. After years of pressure from animal advocates, I don't think so. Animal advocates don't advocate for cage-free eggs. This is more advocacy from rancher advocacy groups, from egg industry advocacy groups. But an animal advocate advocating for cage-free eggs? LOL. So, continuing from the New York Times. Now, however, some of those same advocates are turning their attention via video cameras on the farms where cage-free eggs are produced. So, we have some of those same advocates? Really? Okay. Using some of the same tactics that drove food companies to move away from caged hens, advocates are asking whether the conditions for the cage-free chickens are much better. Of course they are not, but people feel better about it. It's a nice name. Well, cage-free, like one of the two words is free. How terrible can that be? Really terrible, really terrible. But, you know, as was shown in the WikiLeaks, where the Democrats want, what did they say? An unaware and compliant citizenry. So I think the pseudo animal advocates, or the animal advocates, let's say in costume, they're masquerading. It's Halloween. They're masquerading as animal advocates. And anyway, so they are, this whole thing is a masquerade. The whole thing is a charade, cage-free eggs. But we want to believe the delusion. We want to believe something is better, something, anything, even though, which is a good Todd Rundgren album, but nothing that happens really for chickens. It says here on Thursday, Direct Action Everywhere, an all-volunteer animal advocacy group released a video of a stealth visit at a cage-free barn in California that produces eggs sold at Costco. Wait a second, I thought Costco was the hero of the animal advocacy movement, pseudo-animal advocacy movement, whoever these people are. Weren't they just praised? These people are always praised when they make promises to do something in the future that they don't do, and then they make promises again to do it, and they love them. On Thursday, Direct Action Everywhere, an all-volunteer animal advocacy group released the video of a stealth visit to a cage-free barn in California that produces eggs sold at Costco under its private label brand, Kirkland. The video shows dead birds on the floor and injured hens pecked by other chickens. One bird had a piece of flesh hanging off its beak. Off its beak? You mean off her beak? They are not things. They are not an it. This is the picture that I paint with words on this program all the time. You think I lie? You think I'm lying to you? I'm not the Democrat National Committee here. Come on. The video focuses on a hen that Direct Action Everywhere rescued, named Ella, when the organization found her in the cage-free barn. And by the way, you know, I mean, that's just basically what it is. It's a warehouse, birds wall to wall. It's a cage, only in many ways a more dangerous cage than even those horrible battery cages. And more threat to the health of the birds, more danger, more... Anyway, it's just a mess. So it said here, quote, there were birds rotting on the floor, and there was one dead bird that seemed to have lost her head. This is Wayne Shun talking. There were, of DXE, there were birds attacking birds, and the smell was horrible. Well, that's what you get, pecking order with a warehouse full of birds, and you know, the conditions driving everybody to violence. No wonder they have their beaks chopped off, right? So sometimes their toes, right? It says the egg industry has long warned that hens living cage-free in aviary systems will experience higher mortality rates and more disease. Research by the Coalition for Sustainable Egg Supply, which is financed by egg producers and food companies, found substantially worse levels of aggression and cannibalism in cage-free systems, also known as aviary systems, compared with caged systems. It has also found more damage to the birds' sternums. So there you have it. More violence, more levels of disease. So thank you, animal advocates, for your cause, the cage-free egg cause, and led by the Humane Society of the United States, and you know, all of its groupie group of groups. Look at what, you know, this is your wish come true. Congratulations. Nice going. Well, you could have been asking people to go vegan. You're supporting cage-free eggs at Costco. And who's on the side of the birds, huh? It says here, consumers have an idyllic vision of what cage-free farming looks like, Mr. Shun said. They need to be shown the truth, which is that cage-free is far from humane. And the article continues, yet partly in response to graphic videos and reports about the conditions of caged chickens, consumers pressured companies from McDonald's to Walmart. And this is all at the urging of this sellout, the animal betrayal specialists masquerading as an animal rights movement, all featured at Farm's Animal Rights Conference. Thank you, Farm Animal Rights Movement, for all of these people leading the way with cage-free eggs. And so they lead the way, and it says here, yet partly in response to graphic videos and reports about the conditions of caged chickens, consumers pressured companies from McDonald's to Walmart and Costco to turn to cage-free eggs. Thank you, animal rights organizations, you know, pseudo Humane Society of the United States, and it's the guy who won, who was inducted into Farm's Animal Rights Hall of Fame, Josh Balk, right? All he does is sell cage-free eggs. That's his full-time job for HSUS. He gets into the Animal Rights Hall of Fame for creating this disaster here. So all of these companies bowing to pressure from these pseudo-animal groups, the animal betrayal specialists masquerading as animal advocates, says those companies have rushed to promise buying only cage-free eggs in the years to come, which has pushed egg producers to invest tens of millions of dollars in aviary systems. Many animal rights activists have applauded those commitments because why? It's ridiculous. How embarrassing. You know, people say I'm divisive. Please, yes, divide me from anybody who has ever applauded the commitments to go cage-free. And the commitments for so many millions, billions of eggs in the future, McDonald's going all cage-free in 10 years, they'll never meet the demand. Look where we are today, and it's awful today. Has anybody here mentioned going vegan yet? Let's see. I don't know. So what else does it say here? Direct action, which mounts protests on treatment of animals with a goal of ending meat consumption, decided to test these companies. The group bought a carton of cage-free eggs sold under the Kirkland name and traced them back to Pleasant Valley Farms. Pleasant Valley Farms. It's always so pleasant, huh? Where everybody is mutilated, imprisoned, and killed pleasantly. It's humane. It's cage-free. That's in Farmington, California. Volunteers from Direct Action shot the video over several visits to the barns. Anyway, so Pleasant Valley released a statement describing the group's actions as break-in and trespassing, and criticized the content of the video. The video does not, quoting here, the video does not accurately show what truly goes on in our barns and appears to be staged for production effect by the Russians, the farm said. Well, I said the Russians part, just okay. Let's see, Pleasant Valley said that because members of Direct Action may have contaminated the barn, the company had destroyed all the birds in it. Costco said in a statement that the video appeared to involve just one barn out of the many that it uses to supply the eggs sold under its Kirkland brand. So the illusion continues, right? And then, wasn't there something in this article here? I thought there was, what did I do? There was something, I don't know. There was a quote from, wasn't in this article? It was from Paul Shapiro of the Humane Society of the United States saying how much better cage-free eggs are than what? Oh, here it is. It says, Paul Shapiro, Vice President for Farm Animal Protection at the Humane Society of the United States, said that cage-free hen housing was without a doubt better than battery cages, though not without problems. He noted that an assessment by researchers in the Netherlands that ranked various types of hen housing for animal welfare on a scale of 0 to 10 gave aviary systems a 5.8, while cages were 0. Quote, with companies like Costco, he said, it's better to welcome them for taking the first steps rather than punish them for not taking the last step, end quote. I mean, this guy is like listening to a Democrat, this Paul Shapiro dude. I mean, he's like as honest and believable as Hillary, you know? I mean, the cage-free systems with the mutilated birds imprisoned, killing each other, cannibalism, everybody dies. That gets a 5.8. Wow. So it's way up there. It's way up there. Makes us feel better, right? And it makes people donate to the Humane Society of the United States. Remember, it's better to welcome Costco for taking the first steps rather than punish them for not taking the last step. What is the last step, Mr. Shapiro? Should Costco go vegan or should people go vegan? And I don't know, did Mr. Shun ask people to go vegan? Is that what Direct Action Everywhere is doing, asking people to go vegan? Because I see here, comparatively speaking, what we're showing is that cage-free chickens, you know, aren't doing much better than conventionally housed chickens. So is the message save the money on cage-free and just buy conventionally housed? Or is the message you have to go vegan because there's no kind way, there's no cruelty-free way of producing animal products? The animals, it just doesn't work out. Whatever you want to believe, whatever delusions animal advocates would like to adopt, it's just not, I mean, it's not happening, you know, it's not happening. The whole thing is you have to go vegan or the animals suffer miserably and then they are killed. Nobody gets out alive. Here you have this guy, honest as Hillary, Paul Shapiro, Vice President of Farm Animal Protection. How many hens will he save in cage-free production? 0. All the hens will be killed. How many of the males will he save? In cage-free production, we don't see that part here, huh? That all the males are ground alive or suffocated. So 100% of them. So 100% of those protected by animal advocate Paul Shapiro will be mutilated, confined, and murdered. Great protection, great animal rights movement. Great concept, this cage-free egg situation. And the five freedoms and everything I've discussed all along that makes all of this wrong. I mean, I guess you sometimes people need to see it in a video, but that's the case. Never going to be good. Never going to be good. And the only solution is going vegan, which is the solution for everything. So why not start today? Well, I think that's about it for this week's program. I have to get back to my, you know, to watching YouTube and seeing the latest on what's going on with the the latest in politics, and then what, we have one more program before the election, and then I'll stop posting political things and get back to the business at hand, which is we all have to go vegan no matter what, no matter who's elected. The only solution, the only way to peace, remember it was Tolstoy who said, as long as there are slaughterhouses, there will be battlefields. And I don't know, Hillary wants to march us off to war with Russia. And I just want to make America great again. You know, I just want to make America G-R-A-T-E. I want to make America great again. I want America grating, you know, carrots and potatoes and onions. I want America, you know, don't call me Russian, but, you know, I want America just, you know, peace. I want to toast with Russia. I want to let's drink borscht together and let's not march off to war. And wars are fought over resources like oil, land, food, water, all squandered by our wrongful diet for meat, dairy, fish, and eggs. Please support this program with a tax-deductible donation. We have hundreds of archives available at goveganradio.com.